Welcome to the BCS podcast, where we explore the basics of computer science concepts. I'm your host, Saran, founder of Code Newbie.
And I'm Vaidehi Joshi, author and developer.
And she is the brilliant mind behind the BCS blog series. Today we're talking about
QuickSort. This season of BCS is brought to you by DevDiscuss. DevDiscuss is a show I work on with the team at Dev, an international supportive community for developers. The show addresses the many burning topics that pop up on Dev every day and is hosted by Jess Lee and Ben Halper, two of Dev's co-founders. Past episodes have included unpopular opinions with Kelsey Hightower, staff developer advocate at Google Cloud and a legendary voice in tech.
So an unpopular opinion should be like, computers were a mistake. Was this all worth it?
And how changing your name is a difficult, unsolved, and sometimes personally devastating problem in tech.
I basically walk through this world, through this minefield of not knowing when I'm going to have this like sort of deep emotional wound reopened.
As well as how little known tools can have big productivity gains.
And I think it gives me the sense of structure, which I really enjoy. And also you can color code different things.
Each episode features interesting guests from diverse backgrounds who are active in the software space. This podcast is your place for burning tech questions, answers, and genuine conversations. And we also end each episode with commentary from the everyday developers who call Dev home.
You'd be surprised how many things making music and coding have in common.
True to the Dev community, DevDiscuss wouldn't be possible without the input from all of you. So listen, rate, and subscribe to DevDiscuss wherever you get your podcasts.
QuickSort. Okay, so we have been talking about a bunch of different sorting algorithms. We've talked about selection sort, insertion sort. What's another one? We did another one too.
Merge sort.
Merge sort. That's true.
Oh, bubble sort. That's the one that I always try to not remember. And it works.
Sorry,
I didn't remember it till the end.
There you go. Mission accomplished. So we've talked about four different sorting algorithms, and bubble sort, insertion sort, selection sort were all bleh. That was what they were. They were all bleh.
That's a technical term.
And then merge sort, however, is getting better. We had some hope in merge sort.
Things got better. It improved faster.
Things are looking up. Things are moving faster. We're progressing in our lives. And with QuickSort, I'm hoping we are staying in this new life, in this new world of awesomeness. Is that what we're going to do?
We are. We're going to stay in this world.
Okay. Will we be staying and going through this life very quickly?
Ha, 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 ha.
Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully it means it's fast and efficient. We'll find out. Okay, let's define it. What is QuickSort? What is this thing?
So QuickSort is a sorting algorithm that has one characteristic that should be familiar to us already. In last week's episode, we talked about merge sort, and we went kind of into some detail about why it is an efficient algorithm. And one of the things we talked about was the fact that it's a divide and conquer algorithm. When you design an algorithm that way, you basically find a solution that works for the smallest version of that problem. Mm-hmm. So you find a solution that works on a subproblem and you apply it to the larger problem at hand. Mm-hmm. So QuickSort does the same thing.
Okay.
The interesting part is how it does that. It chooses a pivot point in an unsorted collection.
Okay.
And based on that pivot point, it divides or partitions the collection such that all the elements smaller than the pivot come before it and all the elements larger than the pivot come after it.
Okay, so this sounds familiar with the merge sort because we kind of had like a it wasn't called a pivot number. What did we have? We had something kind of like that, right?
It was like the middle point, I think, is what we
middle
called
point.
It.
Okay.
With merge
sort. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah. So same idea of having like one number that helps us in our dividing and conquering.
It does a little bit differently, but same idea of like having a middle piece.
Yes.
But interestingly, with pivot, it's not necessarily just the middle element.
Okay. So this pivot piece, I'm trying to imagine in my mind how this works. So I have my pivot number. And I have my unsorted list, so now what do I do?
You have this pivot number, and you have your unsorted list. And what you're basically trying to do is use the pivot in order to do a certain level of sorting, I guess you could say.
Okay.
What you're basically doing is you're using the pivot, and you're basically going to divide your list such that everything is sorted in relation to the pivot.
Okay.
So what that means is you will kind of divide your list and move all the elements smaller than the pivot to one side, to the left side.
Okay.
And all the elements larger to the right side. But that doesn't mean they're all sorted when you do it.
Mm.
All it means is they're sorted in comparison to the pivot and what it is.
Okay.
So you kind of like do a pseudo sort of. You like vaguely sort it.
A loose sort.
Yeah, I like that. Loose sort. Yeah.
Okay. So this pivot number that we're talking about, does it have to be any particular number? Can I just kind of pick whatever number I want? Like, how does that work?
The pivot is extremely crucial to the quicksort algorithm.
Okay.
And for now, we'll just say that the number that we want for our pivot should kind of be in the middle of our data set. I guess we could say it's the median number.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, a lot of quicksort algorithms will sort of arbitrarily pick a number.
Mm-hmm.
In an ideal world, if you could just do the right thing, you'd pick the median of your data set and use that to sort.
Okay, so just to make sure I have this high-level understanding of it. So I have, let's say, a list of subjects, and they are standing in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And
wait. List of subjects.
Yeah, like people.
Who is the queen here?
Oh, obviously it's me.
I was like, subjects?
Clearly.
In whose kingdom, queendom? In what situation are we in?
In my queendom. It's a beautiful queendom. Everyone is very happy. Everyone knows how to code.
I like that.
They don't have the computer science degrees because they don't need them because they have this podcast. You know, it's just a wonderful place to be.
It's quiet. It's very quiet.
It's a very quiet queendom. Yes. So today, on this rare occasion, they are standing in line with their headphones out, off.
Mm-hmm.
And so as the queen, I am the pivot.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to sort them by height. I want the shortest people all the way to the tallest people. Okay. We're going to sort them by height. So what we're doing with this quick sort situation is I, as the pivot, would say, okay, you are shorter than me, so I'm going to put you to the left of me. And then you, over there, you're taller than me, so I'm going to put you to the right of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you over there, you're shorter than me too, so now you're going to be on the left. You're taller than me, I'm going to put you on my right. And I just keep going like that so that everything to my left is shorter than me. Everything to my right is taller than me. It's almost like I made like a little sublist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amongst each sublist, they are not sorted.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. Because you're their queen, I guess.
That's right.
They are sorting themselves in relation to you and not to each other.
Right.
The only guarantee there is that they are going to be shorter than you on one side, not necessarily shorter than you and also shorter than the person to their right, but taller than the person to their left.
Okay. So that seems like a good first step, but I assume we are not done because we are not sorted. So once we have we've kind of divided them, right? Sort of, because there's like a left side and a right side. What happens next?
Well, I have some bad news for your queendom. There's about to be a coup.
No!
Actually, there's going to be two coups.
Seriously?
Which is very complicated, yeah. Now that I think about it, the political side of this is very, very complicated. Just don't worry about that part. Basically, since you mentioned earlier, you have two sublists, right? You have all of the sublist of subjects on your left.
Yes.
And the sublist of subjects on your right.
Uh-huh.
They've been partitioned. They've been divided into two halves.
Yeah.
But they also need to be sorted in relation to each other.
Yes.
But because this is a divide and conquer algorithm, we want to use the same basic steps, the same rules to sort these sublists too. In order to sort them, we're going to do what we just did with the larger sublist, which means each sublist needs to choose its own pivot.
Oh, interesting. But what happens to me?
Oh, you just stand there and stay where you are as the queen.
Well, at least I get to keep my throne.
That's
pretty nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do these two new pivots do? What happens to them?
For example, let's just focus on one. I think it's a little bit easier, and then we'll get an idea of what the second one is doing. Because, hint, it's the same thing.
Okay. Nice and easy.
So let's say the subjects that are smaller than you have a sublist on your left, they kind of will, you know, step to one side, if you can imagine them stepping to one side, and they're going to say, okay, we need to choose our own pivot, and they're going to choose a pivot the same way that you, as the queen pivot, was chosen.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you were the pivot at the end of the list, so we just picked you. Mm-hmm. In the sublist, we'll do the same thing. We'll pick the last element and we'll say, okay, you're the new pivot.
Okay.
Now, all the elements that are to your one side, we're going to sort them in relation to you, new pivot.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the new pivot finds its correct home, mm-hmm. its right spot, it will move over there. And any elements that still need to be sorted will become a sub-sublist.
Oh.
And then they'll pick their own pivot.
Huh.
And it'll keep happening until it gets down to the point of a sorted list.
Oh. So that sublist gets smaller and smaller because we're making like sub-sub-sub-sublists mm-hmm. until we've run out of anything to put in our list, basically?
Yeah, until we've basically gone down to a completely sorted list, which is mm-hmm. usually like a situation where you have the one element on its own, or you have like a sublist and it's just like two elements and, you know, you were like, okay, I'll sort them. Here's the pivot. Here's the element that's larger than it's smaller than it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, well, I have a pivot and something in relation to it and it's in its right place.
Okay.
But you'll have a bunch of sorted sublists, if that makes sense.
Because at the end of each sublist sorting, what ends up happening is the pivot finds its place.
Yes.
So eventually, all the numbers will be pivots, and eventually all the pivots will find their place, and then at that point, you're sorted.
Yeah, up until the point where every pivot has been sorted into its correct place, mm-hmm. you aren't completely done with the algorithm, right?
Right.
And when you
right.
have got every single pivot, every single sublist has been sorted down to its smallest parts,
mm-hmm.
now you have a bunch of sorted sublists.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have sorted sublists, you can put the whole kingdom back together again because you have told everyone to go sort themselves out. Pun mm-hmm. sort of intended.
Yeah.
And then you kind of just have them all come back together again. And they're sorted in relation to the original pivot
mm-hmm.
and to their little pivots that they elected in these little coups. Do you elect in a coup?
I was wondering about the logistics of coup organization. You know, I'm not particularly sure about how that works, but sure, let's have a coup election.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So it's interesting that we're kind of repeating and doing the same thing over and over again, right? Because we started with ultimately the best pivot, which was me, the pivot queen. Mm-hmm. And then for some reason, the subjects weren't happy. They divided and, you know, picked their own little two pivots. And did the same thing. And then once that pivot was in its right place, they picked a new pivot and did the same thing. So this is starting to feel recursive.
Mm-hmm. It is. Actually, divide and conquer and recursion go hand in hand because, you know, the moment that you're like repeating the same steps for, you know, a sub problem, or like a sub list within a sub list, you're like, oh, I'm doing the same thing. I can implement this recursively. That is basically what happens with divide and conquer.
Okay, so this makes sense to me on a high level, but I think I need an example to really figure out the mechanism of this. So can we do a quick example?
Let's do it.
Okay, so let's say we have an array, and the array has five numbers. The numbers are 9, 1, 6, 2, 5. And we talked about how we can pick the pivot in a number of different ways. One of the ways is that it's at the end.
Uh-huh.
So we'll pick 5 because that's the last number that we have in our array.
Yep. Easy.
Nice and easy. Yes. So we have our 9, 1, 6, 2, 5 with 5 as our pivot. So now that we have 5 as our pivot, from the example with me being queen, we talked about how now we're going to sort all the other numbers in relation to that 5.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do we actually do that? Like, what do we do next?
Well, we know what we're kind of trying to achieve on a high level, mm-hmm. right? We're trying to kind of say, 5, you stand here in the middle, and all of the little numbers that are smaller than you, you move to the left, and all the big mm-hmm. numbers that are bigger than you go to the right. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to do.
Right.
But we don't want to create an extra array and copy things over or mm-hmm. like, you know, make a copy of an array and iterate and all that. We don't really want to do that. We're trying to be a little clever here.
Okay.
So instead of doing this algorithm out of place, we're going to do it in place, which means we are going to use references.
Ooh.
We're going to move things around without duplicating them, and we're going to figure out the right place to move them, and we're just going to swap some stuff.
Okay.
That's all.
All right. How many references do we need?
We just need two, I think. Okay. We could say that we have like a pseudo reference to our pivot because we have to know what the pivot is. But let's just, for now, let's just say we have two because those are the two we really need to focus on.
Okay.
And the two that we'll have are going to be what we're going to use to split up our list into the left half and the right half.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 91625. Mm-hmm. And we'll start by just saying five, you just move over a little bit, move to the side. We're not dealing with you right now.
Step aside.
Exactly. So really what we're looking at the moment is 9162.
Okay.
And we're going to start with a left reference starting at the leftmost edge of the list and a right reference that starts at the rightmost edge.
Okay.
So if we're ignoring the pivot, since we have 9162, our left reference is going to be 9 and our right reference is going to be 2.
Okay.
So what we want to do is, remember, we're trying to move elements smaller than our pivot to the left and elements larger than our pivot to the right.
Okay.
But what we have is something interesting here. The left reference, so right now the thing that's on the left side of the list is the number 9, and the right reference, the thing that's on, you know, the right side of the list, is the number 2.
Oh, that's bad.
Yes. Things are not in the right place.
Yeah, because 9 is, well, obviously 9 is bigger than 5, so we want that to actually be on the right side, and the 2, which is less than 5, we want that to be on the left side. So can we just, like swap them?
We should swap them because we know 2 should be on the left side of the list because it's smaller than 5. And 9, which is, in comparison to our pivot, larger than 5, should be on the right side. So since we know this and we're, like, looking at these two pointers and we're like, oh, when we compare them to the pivot, we know they're in the wrong spot, we could just swap them.
Because we're smart.
Mm-hmm. And so now if we swap them and we're just moving elements around, now our list reads 2, 1, 6, 9, and 5 over there.
Okay. Okay. So what happens to our pointers? Because we have the left pointer that used to be on 9. Is it now at 2?
It is. Yeah, it's still at the same spot.
Right, right. Still the same index.
The reference, the left reference, was just all it really cared about was what index it was in the array. And the right reference, similarly, only focused on what index it was on the array. The left reference is still pointing to the first element. And the right reference is still pointing to the last element. It just so happens now that the elements have been swapped.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so now that they've been swapped, the references, by the way, can we call them pointers? Is that the same thing?
Yeah.
Or are they different?
Yeah, okay. They're equivalent.
Okay, so the pointers, they are going to stay, you know, where they are for now anyway. And then, what happens next?
Well, now that we know that the left pointer is smaller than 5 and the right pointer is larger than 5, just so we remember, the left pointer is now 2. And the right pointer is now 9. Now we know these two elements are going to end up in the correct place in the list.
Okay.
So now what we can basically do is shift our pointers because we've dealt with those numbers in comparison to our pivot.
Okay.
So our list was 2, 1, 6, 9, and 5, which is the pivot. We'll ignore it for now. So 2, 1, 6, 9. We're going to increment our pointers. So now our left pointer moves from 2 to 1, and our right pointer moves from 9 to 6.
Okay, so at this point, after the pointers have moved, it's still 2, 1, 6, 9, and then the 5, which we ignore. But the pointers are in different spots. So the left pointer is now at 1, the right pointer is now at 6. So I assume we'll be comparing the 1 to the 5 and the 6 to the 5?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Does one of the pointers go first in that comparison? Does it like matter?
So we're going to basically look at the left pointer first. And if you remember when we kind of started in the first version, when 9 was at the beginning of the list and 2 was at the end, we started and we said, oh, 9 in comparison to 5 is bigger.
Yes.
Then we looked at the right pointer and we said 2 in comparison to 5 is smaller. And that's how we got down this road of swapping. We looked at 9 first. So we looked at the left pointer first. So we're going to want to follow the same steps again for all the iterations. And if we are dividing and conquering, then we want to continue to do that same order of operations in order to make this algorithm work.
Okay. So the pattern is usually left, right, left, right in terms of the pointers. Okay. So then we would look at the left pointer first, which is pointing at the number 1, compare it to 5, and one is less than five, and we want the numbers that are less than five to be on the left side. So the one is actually fine. Mm-hmm. We're happy with one.
Yeah. One is in the right place, and we're like, okay, this left reference is less than our pivot, mm-hmm. so we're fine. And so we can look at the right reference, and eventually something interesting is going to happen, actually. Let's go through it.
Okay, I'm excited. Okay, so now we are looking at our right pointer, which is pointing at the number six. Mm-hmm. We compare it to our pivot, which is the number five. Six is bigger than five, which means we want six to be on the right side, and it is. So the six is fine as well.
Exactly. So there's nothing to do here, right? One is in the right spot. Our left pointer is fine. Our right pointer is also fine. Six is in the right spot. So we're just going to increment again. Mm-hmm. Remember, our list is 2, 1, 6, 9, and our left pointer is at 1, and our right pointer is at 6. So now we're going to increment the left pointer from 1 over, but now our left pointer is pointing to 6.
Oh.
And our right pointer is also at 6 at this very moment. We really should be incrementing it to 1. Mm-hmm. We should basically be crossing over. Our pointers are going to finally intersect.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's interesting. But also, it's like the fact that our pointers are intersecting basically means we've looked through the whole list, right?
Yeah, because I was going to say, we're kind of done. How does the algorithm know that we're done? But I guess it's this crossing over moment that signals the end?
Basically, what happens is, like, once the index of our left pointer is greater than or equal to the index of the right pointer, we know the crossover has happened. And that's when we finally know that in relation to the pivot, all these numbers are basically on the correct side. So there's one big step left.
Okay. What is it?
We got to do something with the pivot.
Okay. So we told it to go off to the side. We said move aside, pivot, but now we're bringing it back.
Yes. So we know after going through our numbers that 2 and 1 are both smaller than 5.
Yes.
We just looked at the number 1, which was our left pointer, and we incremented it. So now we know everything on that side should be on the left of our pivot.
Which it is, right?
It is. And so we know that the pivot needs to go after those numbers.
Ah, okay. Okay, got it. How do we do that?
So once the index of our left reference is greater than or equal to the index of the right reference, we can basically swap the pivot with the element at the left reference.
Oh.
So in this case, we've incremented our left reference, our left pointer, to the number 6.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're like, okay, now I know the pointers have intersected.
Mm-hmm.
My left reference is pointing at 6. Time to swap the pivot. And the pivot is going to go where the 6 is actually sitting right now.
Oh.
And the 6 has to take the pivot spot. Because remember, we're doing everything in place. So you have to, like, move everything around.
Everything's a swap.
Yeah. So now our new list reads 2, 1,
mm-hmm.
5, 9, 6.
Oh.
If we just look at everything to the left of 5,
mm-hmm.
we're looking at 2 and 1.
Yeah.
And we look at everything to the right of mm-hmm. 5, we're looking at 9 and 6.
Yeah.
Now, 2 and 1 are both smaller than 5.
That's true.
But they're not in the right order.
That is true, too.
And 9 and 6 are also both larger than 5,
mm-hmm.
but they're also not in the right order.
No, they're not.
But they are in the right order in comparison to our initial pivot. So we have somewhat loosely sorted our list.
Okay, so now we've done essentially like one round. Is that a fair way to describe it?
Yeah. Like we've split iteration? Our one list,
yeah.
our initial list, into a pivot with 2 sublists, basically. So
yes.
We've done one round.
And left sublist is 2, 1. Right sublist is 9, 6, which is very exciting. So with our 2, 1, 5, 9, 6, we need a new pivot.
We need 2 new pivots, actually.
Oh my God, you're right. We do need 2 new pivots.
Because we got 2 sublists.
Each sublist needs its own pivot. Okay, so how did you say that we're going to pick them from earlier?
Well, we're going to stick with the same thing we've done before. So what we did in the beginning of this algorithm was we just picked the last number of the sublist and we made that the pivot kind of arbitrarily.
Okay, so if we look at the left sublist, that pivot would be 1 because mm-hmm. it's just 2, 1 and the last one is just 1. And then if we look at the right sublist, it is 9, 6, and the last number is 6, so the pivot would be 6.
Mm-hmm. So our whole collection reads 2, 1, 5, 9, 6, mm-hmm. but the 5 is going to stay in its own spot. So we got 2, 1, our 1 is our left pivot, our new left pivot, and 9, 6, and 6 is going to be the new pivot for the right side.
Okay, so if we focus on the left sublist first, can I have a go mm-hmm. of what we how this works? Okay, so in our left sublist, we have only a 2 and a 1.
Yep.
I don't think there's much for us to do because we have our, so technically we have to have our left pointer and it's going to point at 2, but we don't really have a right pointer. Like we can't, right?
Yeah. In this case, you basically are going, you'll have a left pointer and you'll compare it to the pivot and you'll say, oh, it's larger.
Right.
And you are going to have to swap it with the only element that there's left to swap with.
Which is the pivot.
Yep.
Okay. So the left sublist now reads 1, 2.
Mm-hmm.
Done. Nailed it. Okay, so now we're on to our right sublist, which is 9, 6. And we decided that the pivot is going to be the last number, so the pivot is 6. So we are going to get our left pointer, which is going to be pointing to the number 9. And we're going to compare it with the pivot, which is 6. And it is greater than 6. There's no really right pointer. There's nothing else to compare it to. And we know that 9 should be on the right of 6. So we just swap 9 and 6.
Yep.
And if we do that and we read the full array, it would read 1, 2, 5, 6, 9.
And our list is sorted, yeah.
And it's sorted. Wow. Okay, you said something early on, though, where you said that once we were done, we were going to have a bunch of sublists, but then we have to put them together?
Mm-hmm.
Is there like another step that we now need to do once things are sorted?
Well, I guess the putting together is the fact that you have to sort every single sublist, which I guess is really the dividing. So I guess the putting together here is a little bit misleading because we did have to divide everything up in order to sort it.
Mm.
But because this is an algorithm that's in place,
right?
We're not like, you know, putting arrays together or merging
right.
elements together. Like when we did merge sort, we did actually have to, you know,
yeah,
append
that's
the
what
elements.
I was thinking of. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is an in-place algorithm and we're using references. So we didn't ever take anything apart really.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we don't really have to put it together.
Okay.
We did everything with pointers. So it was all in place.
Yeah.
And so all of the sorting was happening with just one collection. We didn't make duplicates. We didn't split it up. We just moved things around and we shifted it around in a specific order.
Yeah. It sounds efficient. It sounds like a really efficient way of doing things. Does it have a really good big O notation?
It is actually pretty efficient. It's got a reputation of being one of the most efficient algorithms, actually,
ooh,
when it comes to sorting. But I'm going to do one of my favorite things. I'm going to leave you on a cliffhanger, and I'm going to save the big O notation of quicksort for next episode.
Okay, okay. I'm excited for that.
The bigness of that O?
Yes, yes. The bigness of that O. Oh, I love that.
I love that.
And that's the end of today's show. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and make sure to check out Vaidehi's blog post. Link to that is in your show notes. Also, make sure to take a listen to the Dev Discuss podcast that I help make. It's the first original podcast from Dev, a global community of software developers of all backgrounds and experience levels. And the show covers burning topics that impact the daily lives of programmers and beyond. Hosted by Dev co-founders Ben Halpern and Jess Lee.
Vaidehi, you want to say goodbye?
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening. See you next week.